Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Monday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We're live from the Oxygen Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Bertie, what's going on?
That's my Bickley impersonation.
Is that your impersonation of Bickley impersonating you? That's actually pretty solid.
Bertie, what's going on?
You need more of a pause, though, there.
Is there a pause?
Bertie,
where?
Bertie, what's going on?
My Bickley impersonation of Bickley impersonating me.
Yes.
My impersonation of Bickley impersonating me.
Is anybody else? I mean, Cody, you're the only member on the show who hasn't impersonated Bickley impersonating Gambo. You wanna give it a go?
Bernie, what's going on?
Now, like audio recordings, who could do the best Dan Bickley impersonation of me?
Yes.
Cody sounded like a mobster from the 30s, right?
Yeah.
What's going on? I see yous over there. Don't make me pull out my submachine gun. I'll off all yous.
Smoking my cigar while I say it in my big suit and hat.
He actually is smoking a cigar in there.
You're like the Nero out of Untouchables, right? You're doing your Capone in there. That's really, really good.
So did you have a good weekend? Anything exciting?
We did not hit
the Mega Millions. So my wife, as much as she wants to call David from that millionaire TV show with the houses, she's not going to be able to do it.
Okay. You know what's sad is I know exactly who you're talking about.
Oh, Sarah, my God. My wife loves that guy.
Sarah has no idea.
My wife loves – my David God, she, wants, from to, the she wants to be best friends with him.
Yeah.
She wants to be best friends with David from – I'm looking it up now. My lottery dream home.
Yeah. Oh.
So people win the lottery and they call this guy. And then he goes and finds him a house. And so my wife loves the show, and she wants to be best friends with him because they have, like, the same similar style. So,
yeah,
they have the same similar style. So she wants to be best friends with him.
It's not part of my wife's rotation to HGTV shows that I fall asleep to every night. It has not cracked my wife's personal code. But I've seen it on HGTV from time to time, right? Like somebody wins the lottery and they hire
and they
this guy
him.
And they call him and he finds him $1 million home. He finds him a dream home.
She even wants to fake it and just call him and say we won even though we didn't, just so she can have him sell her a home.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck. Have fun with that.
Hey,
Gambo.
I won the lottery. Can you help me find a home? Because she thinks that they could be best friends. So
that's
crazy.
Outstanding. That's awesome.
Although my wife did get me good. We were watching The Karate Kid this weekend, the original.
Okay.
And you know the point where he's got him working like 3 straight days, right? He's got him working, working, working. Yeah. And afterwards, he's like, I'm tired of being your, you know, doing all your work. I'm not learning anything. You're supposed to teach me karate. And he goes, Daniel-san, stop. Daniel-san, show me paint the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Show me wax the car.
Mm-hmm.
Show me sand the deck. And he learns all these movies. My wife comes out with a basket of laundry. She goes, show me fold the towels. I swear to God. I'm sitting there. At that point, show me paint the fence. Show me wax the car. Show me. And she comes out with a basket of laundry, puts it down. She goes, show me fold the towels.
So did you?
Yes.
Damn right. I did every single one of them.
Wait. Play that again for me, Cody. Give it to me one more time.
Show me sand the floor.
That's well done her part. Man,
I have nothing.
Well
show me fold the towels.
I have nothing that happened to me this weekend that even remotely comes close to that. Gambo, congratulations. You win the weekend.
Yep.
You get the trophy. Let's weigh in on our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in.
Weighing in on an NBA game that is an hour away. And I'll ask the question to Gambo. Is it an hour away, Gambo?
Yeah, I just got a message about 5 minutes ago. The game is on.
Okay.
Are we still good to play? Yes. As of right now, I tweeted this out earlier that I got word that they're on pace to play, that they're supposed to play. I think I tweeted out all signs point towards them playing. This was earlier today about 9:50 or so. I tweeted it out, and then I just checked a short time ago, and I was told that, yes, they still plan to play. So the Phoenix Suns, who last played Monday, are going to play and have had three games postponed, are scheduled to play, although I had some indication Friday that something was up, because usually I'm able to say, you know, no positive tests, no positive tests, no positive tests. We weren't able to say that Friday. Remember, we said it Tuesday, we said
That's
it
right.
Wednesday,
I
we said
that.
It Thursday.
Yeah.
Friday, I was like, hey, I'm not hearing anything. So that was an indicator to me that, they're not going to tell me who the players are. You're just going to find out that, hey, this guy's in the health and safety protocol, and that basically tells you. So Friday is the first indication I got that, okay, things may not be going wrong, because I said I'll try to find out, because usually Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday I was able to find out that nobody had tested positive, but I could not on Friday. I could not confirm or say anything that there was players that nobody tested positive. So that gave me the belief that maybe there was a player or two. And we do know that a couple players right now are in the health and safety protocol and unavailable for this game.
Those players are Dario Saric and Damian Jones. They are out due to health and safety protocols. Jalen Smith remains out due to health and safety protocols. Cameron Payne doesn't have anything to do with health and safety protocols, but he's questionable for today's game against the Memphis Grizzlies with an ankle sprain. He's not a big man, but all the other guys are, and what that basically means is the Suns have two available bigs for today, DeAndre Ayton and Frank Kaminsky, as they take on the Memphis Grizzlies. Game that's scheduled to start at 3 o'clock on ESPN 620. If you're curious about the unusual start time, today obviously is MLK Day, and the NBA typically schedules several nationally televised day games on MLK Day to help celebrate the holiday. So that's the reason why the Suns are on this national TV audience
right.
day, but they are going to be thin
the
on
Memphis,
the front court.
Yeah, the Memphis Grizzlies, there's a lot of people I feel like this game shouldn't be played. And the only thing I could say is that the Suns, they took all their tests Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They followed the NBA league's rules. Because people point to Minnesota, right? Okay, so Minnesota played Memphis on last Wednesday. They played Minnesota. Then the next game against Minnesota was postponed, but then Memphis just played Philadelphia on Saturday, and they pointed to, you know, Philly positive test and Minnesota positive, right? Carl Anthony Towns has it. And like, okay, should this game be played? Look, I'm not the expert. I can just tell you that they're following the league rules
yeah.
and the league protocol. If a player tests positive, then they've got to be quarantined for 10 to 14 days if they test positive. Contract tracing is different. I think they feel after a certain amount of days, I'm not sure if it's 5 or 6, that, you know, if you don't show any symptoms, okay, then you're good. You don't have it. I don't know the exact rules, but, you know, that Memphis did have games recently, you know, against Minnesota, which has some positive tests, and also against Philadelphia. Memphis has a couple of guys out as well.
Yeah, Jonas Valanciunas in particular. He
right.
was out Sunday due to health and safety protocols. I mean, look, we spent a little bit of last week kind of Monday morning quarterbacking whether the Suns should have played the Wizards on Monday. And I think the fear of those people that you're hearing from, Gambo, who are questioning whether today's game should be played, is based off of sort of what happened last week. Because as you mentioned, the Grizzlies, Memphis played the 76ers on Saturday. The 76ers had their game on Sunday against OKC postponed after 90 minutes of waiting for it because of contact tracing going on in Philly.
Yeah.
Woj reported that was due to contact tracing from the Memphis game on
yes.
Saturday,
yes.
which was due to the fact that Valanciunas didn't play. He was ruled out on Sunday. He played 20 minutes against the Sixers on Saturday. So here's a guy who played 20 minutes against the Sixers on Saturday, was ruled out on Sunday due to health and safety protocols, forced the 76ers to postpone their game on Sunday against the Thunder, and I think that's why people are wondering about whether this game should be played, because the last thing the Suns want to do is have a repeat of what happened last week. Play a game against Memphis, and then realize that Memphis was on the verge of some sort of an outbreak, and now the Suns
yeah.
are out another week because of exactly what happened last week
yes.
with the Wizards.
Memphis played Minnesota Thursday. And then the Wolves proceeded to lose about half of their team to health and safety protocols, including Carl Anthony Towns, who tested positive. It was Wednesday. So they played Minnesota Wednesday, and then immediately after that, you know, Minnesota couldn't field the team. They didn't have enough players. So now Minnesota has had, And I'm just looking at it. I'm looking at the schedule. So Minnesota had their game postponed against Memphis on Friday, but they are scheduled to play Atlanta today, I believe. So I think they're scheduled to play Atlanta.
They're playing
today.
Right now. I'm actually
playing right now.
I'm actually
so they are playing.
It.
So yeah. They are playing now.
Yeah,
I wonder how many players they have.
I don't know. They're up 75. The Hawks are up 75-61 right now with about 4 minutes.
So they had
to go
one game postponed. Minnesota did. So Minnesota had one game. I'm going to go to their box score real quick. And they've got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They played 10 players in this game. So Minnesota was able to get to 10 players playing in this game.
Well, assuming that it's okay to play and assuming that the league knows what they're doing by allowing the Suns to play this game, Monty Williams said he thought the guys handled everything very well.
And I said this at the beginning of this whole thing. We're going to have to navigate uncertainty, and we did that pretty well this week. I told the guys yesterday they did a heck of a job not complaining, getting into the gym on their time slots and getting their work in and going home. And it was something that I thought they should be commended for, because our guys did a great job of handling this past week.
Again, we'll see. Gambo mentioned he got the text 5 minutes ago that everything is a go for this game. It's scheduled to start at 3 o'clock. You'll hear it on ESPN 620. But as always, keep it right here on the Burns and Gambo Show. I promise you we'll keep you completely updated on what's going on with that game. But as of right now, we are a go for that game to be played. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm expecting that this – I checked twice on this. Once around, before 10 o'clock in the morning, and it was told that the game is – all signs point to the game is being played, and I was just checked – within the last hour, are we still good to play this game? And I was told yes.
Yep.
So I am expecting that the Suns in the Memphis game will go off based on what I'm being told. Unless something happens, right before game time, I'm being told that this game is going to be played.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, even without the best quarterback in the NFL on the field, the Chiefs were still able to take care of the Browns thanks to Shad Henne. And the guts of Andy Reid. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, Gambo, you got to be honest with me.
Yeah.
Did you write this line that I'm about to read, or did you copy and paste this from somebody else? Because I laughed out loud when I read your email today. Are you ready for the line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This line from your email that you sent me about the Chiefs-Browns game yesterday.
Okay.
Shad Henne threw 1,997 passes in his career before today, and you can't remember any of them. He tosses a short fourth down completion, and he's a hero. Gotta love the NFL.
I think I got that from Rich Samini or something.
Okay.
The first line, Andy Reid has some cojones, that was all me.
All right, that was you? Okay.
Yeah, that was me. Andy Reid's got some cojones.
I laughed at that, too, only because I don't quite think he got the spelling of cojones right, but I do appreciate the effort. But the Shad Henne threw 2,000 passes in his career, and you can't remember any of them. I laughed out loud. That's because that's exactly it. It's like, oh my God, Shad Henne. I remember Shad Henne. You used to be Shad Henne. I remember you.
You're still in the league?
You're still in the league. And on third,
my God,
third and 14, you're running for 13. And then on fourth and one, you're throwing to Tyreek Hill to ice the game.
How old are you? Are you as old as Tom Brady? Did Tom Brady replace you at Michigan?
Oh,
who came first, Henne or Brady? No, you're like, oh my God, Shad Henne's still in the league?
Oh, but you are
my
right.
My God, I remember that guy with Miami. I remember him with Jacksonville.
The Onions.
Oh, my
Andy Reid in that moment. That was it was great. It was great.
Look, Tony Romo's as good as it gets in predicting plays, right? And when Tony Romo was just flabbergasted.
I have it.
By
Can I
that
play
call.
It? Can I play it for
oh
you?
Oh, my God. Yeah, please.
Okay,
please do.
This was the highlight of my Sunday, was listening to this 53-second exchange here.
Right here. Andy Reid, really smart. Send everybody out there. You got guts, right? You're trying to draw them off sides. Take a timeout. Take it down. Let the clock click. Try and draw them off sides.
Hey, put Henne in the gun.
Walk up. Pretend like you're going to go ahead and quarterback sneak it. Motion them back. Try and draw them off sides. And then take a timeout. You walk up there and say, no play, everybody. Don't jump. There's no play. Just look at the body language.
Ready?
Oh, there is a play. Henne rolling out, throws it. Hill! And the Chiefs are heading to the NFC Championship game. Only Andy Reid gets a Ryan shotgun on fourth and an inch. And throws the ball with his backup quarterback. There's no way. He shocked everybody. I mean, that is impossible. I've never seen it.
It was great. It was. Now I saw something. Let me tell you. This is why I don't buy these win percentage things, man. There was something I saw yesterday on one of those next generation stats that the win percentage would have been about the same if they punted it or if they would have went for it. Like the win percentage is the same. I don't buy any of that, man. You punt the ball. They're down to one timeout because they were stupid. They're down to one timeout. They need a touchdown. They can't get a field goal. They need a touchdown. I can't imagine that there's another coach in this league that would have punted the football. Like, Andy Reid has to be the only coach in the National Football League on fourth and inches from midfield, and you're up by less than a touchdown with a minute and 14 left that you go for that, knowing that if you fail, they're 50 yards away from winning the football game. And they don't have, you know, the Browns have no timeouts left. They have no timeouts. So punt the ball to them, and then, okay, you got a minute and 14, but you can't stop the clock unless you get out of bounds. Like, so you work that, like, you can control the sidelines. I don't think there's another coach in the league that makes that call.
I don't know if there is or if there isn't. There probably aren't very many who do it, and the fact that they so badly fooled Tony Romo, I just thought was, because, I mean, even right up until the last second when it gets snapped, you can hear him, and he's like, yeah, there's no way. There's no way. They're not going to snap it. He's going to walk it up, and he's going to say no play, and they're going to call timeout, or they're going to take the delay, or they're going to do something.
They convinced the Browns that it's exactly what they were doing. They weren't going to run a play. They convinced the entire Browns defense that they were not going to run a play. They're not going to run. They're just trying to draw us off sides. Just stay. Don't. The Browns. But I'll tell you, you know, as great as that play was, as great as it was, what doomed the Browns was on third and 14, letting Chad Henne run for 13 yards.
No question. No
Like, if question. Chad Henne runs for 10, they probably don't run that play. Chad Henne on third and 14 escapes for a 13-yard gain, and now you're only 1 yard away. So that was a big play in the game right there. Look, Mahomes gets knocked out of the game with the concussion. I mean, I knew based on boxing background, he wasn't coming back in that game. He was a fighter that had no legs, okay? That's what happens. He had no legs. He couldn't stand up on his own, and that's what happens when you have a concussion. You try to, your legs are gone. You try to take a step and you wobble. You can't go. You can't walk a straight line. He was done. I knew he was done. So then it comes back to, okay, now can Chad Henne hold on to this lead? Because when Mahomes got knocked out of the game, Kansas City's up 19-10. They're up 19-10. Now, the Honey Badger, great interception, but then Kansas City misses a field goal. That could have been a big play. Cleveland had, and this is where I think Cleveland screwed up too. They had this back-breaking 18-play, 75-yard drive that took up over 8 minutes. Kansas City was spent. It's 22-17. They're spent. But then Kansas City gets the ball, and for some stupid reason, the Browns challenged a catch by Tyreek Hill, which not only cost them a timeout, but it also gave the Kansas City defense plenty of rest that they needed because they were just on the field for 15 minutes in real time.
Yeah, it was a bad challenge. And if they could have had that one back, they would have loved to have taken one back, but they couldn't. Yeah, that was a key pivotal moment in the game. I thought sneaky, a key pivotal moment in the game, too, was with under 5 minutes to go. Fourth and nine, Cleveland's got the ball, down 22-17. Stefanski decides to punt. And in the moment, I'm thinking, okay, this is the right call because you're punting the ball to Chad Henne.
Yes.
You're punting the ball to a Kansas City team that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes. They're probably going to get the ball right back here. I thought it was the good, but I remember Nance in the moment was like, I don't know. I don't know if you want to punt the ball here. You might want to go for it. And in retrospect, you know, I don't know if anybody could have guessed that Chad Henne was going to rush for 13 yards on third and 14 and then set up that fourth down play. But, man, credit to him. Credit to the Chiefs for staying kind of true to themselves in the middle of all that, not going into their shell because they didn't have Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback. That was a lot of fun to watch, man. That was my favorite game.
That was just a great game. I mean, the last time Chad Henne had a passing conversion on fourth down, 2013. His 13-yard scramble was his longest run since 2013. Basically, this guy's been out of sight and out of mind since 2013.
Yes, pretty much. Pretty
right?
much, yeah.
The last time Chad Henne did anything was 2013. Wow. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that was phenomenal. And, now, I told you last week, I have a friend of mine that is a diehard Browns fan. Oh, my goodness. And I sent him this thing about how the Higgins fumble was reminiscent of the Beiner fumble. He about lost his mind.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
and he's like, you do remember that I threw a television out a second floor window that day. I go, you know what? My God, I'm sorry. My bad for sending that. Because I remember he threw his television out a second floor window and, you know, smashed it onto the sidewalk. He was just so mad on that day. But the Higgins fumble out of the end zone for the touchback, big play in a game, right? Really big play in a game.
Yeah.
Very reminiscent of the Beiner fumble back in 1988. The Browns lost that game by 5 points. The Browns lost this game by 5 points.
Just real quick, we have not heard anything new about the status of Patrick Mahomes. He's obviously in concussion protocol. He's got the week to basically prove to an independent neurologist that he's able to go. We might get more of Chad Henne this weekend. I don't know. Obviously, a lot will swing on that decision, but so far there has been nothing new that has come out of the Patrick Mahomes injury and the concussion. So as soon as we know something, of course, we'll let you know. When we come back, we turn our attention to the NFC, the Green Bay Packers, the favorites in the NFC. We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
That is interesting. Campaign is available for today's Suns game against the Memphis Grizzlies. But, of course, it's the up front where the Suns are a little thin. Frank Kaminsky and DeAndre Ayton, the only two available bigs for today's game against Memphis. Sarah has today's Twitter poll question of the day as we welcome you back in to the Burns and Gambo Show. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, hello. How are we doing today?
Doing all right. What'd you have for us today?
All right. I know you guys were just talking NFL playoffs, and you will again in just a moment. We are asking, now that the championship game, conference championship games have been set, who makes it to the Super Bowl? Is it the Bills and the Packers, the Bills and the Bucks, the Chiefs and the Packers, or the Chiefs and the Bucks?
Who will?
Bridgie sent something with the odds that showed Kansas City with the least likely odds to make the Super Bowl, and I'm assuming that's with the uncertainty revolving around Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
I'm going to go with Kansas City. And I'm going to go with Kansas City and Green Bay, although I cannot wait for that Kansas City-Buffalo game. Woof.
Mm-hmm. It was the Football Power Index chances to win the Super Bowl, and it wasn't even so much the Chiefs were last. It was just how even they all were. Packers were 28, the Bucks were 26%, the Bills were 24, the Chiefs were 22. I mean, I thought that's remarkably spread out. I think Gambo, and we'll talk more about this over the course of the week, I think this is one of the rare years where I don't think there is a bad Super Bowl matchup out there. I think they're all very, very good, which puts us in a really good spot to not have to, you know, worry about how this thing is going to turn out. My initial hunch, Packers-Bills. I think it's going to be Packers-Bills.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not surprised you went Bills.
So you both say the Packers make it.
Yeah.
But you pick the Chiefs, Gambo, and you pick the Bills,
yeah.
Burnsy.
And Gambo, you're not surprised I took the Bills? You were expecting
me to? Not surprised
at
all. Yeah. The Bills are good.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Your two responses combined, that's about 74% of the vote.
Okay.
So people think the Packers are going to make it. Let's see. 40% say Chiefs-Packers. 35% say Bills-Packers. 15% say Bills-Bucks. 10% say Chiefs-Bucks. So again, Green Bay, for our listeners, they're a lock.
Bucks not getting a lot of love.
None.
We will talk about their game in a moment as we're kind of reviewing all of the games from the divisional playoffs. And by the way, that's our poll question. Sarah puts it together every day. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. At Burns and Gambo is where you can find that.
Rodgers takes, fakes the handoff, looks to throw, lofts it down the middle. Listen, he's got it, and he's gone! He is gone! Touchdown! The Packers with a dagger!
Saturday afternoon, the Green Bay Packers beat the LA Rams 32-18. That was the most yards any team had put on that defense all year long. 484 yards against the LA Rams. Green Bay scored on their first five possessions, but it was that touchdown pass to Lazard that really basically was the nail in the coffin when it comes to the Rams, put that game away. And it got Lazard back in the good graces of Aaron Rodgers because he dropped one earlier in the game.
Yeah.
Did you see that look that Aaron Rodgers gave Alan Lazard when he dropped that ball? Oh, my God. Did you read Aaron Rodgers' lips?
I did not read his lips.
I'm
not good at reading lips.
It was basically something along the lines of, you've got to catch that bleeping ball. Or catch that bleeping ball, or something like that. Yeah, it was. But the Packers win 32-18, punching their ticket to the conference championship.
Yeah, you know, I the Rams hung around long enough in this football game to where it was in doubt. Like I had that, I've had the feeling that Green Bay was going to win, but the Rams just could, you know, they just would not go away, and they kept fighting through and fighting through and. You know, their defense did a pretty good job. But you're right, it wasn't until that play that you just mentioned when Lazard got behind the Rams secondary, 58-yard touchdown, and they go up by two scores. That was with a little bit under 7 minutes left when I finally, okay, you know, they're going to win that game. I mean, that's the first time you kind of – because, again, the Rams just wouldn't go away. They really, really battled throughout that game. And – you know, I know the one play Ramsey was really pissed on, that pick play, just a great play with Davante Adams going to the left and then coming back, and then he got picked by, you know, his own linebackers because he couldn't fight through it. But the Rams did. They hung around just long enough to make it a game. Green Bay did a good job. Rodgers was good, wasn't great, but he was good. Had no interceptions, two touchdowns, but their running game was really good too. They ran the ball exceptionally well in that game against the Rams.
Yeah, they had a lot of help in that game. 189 yards rushing. That was the best rushing game the Packers have ever given Rodgers in a playoff game. That's the most rushing yards the Packers have ever had in any playoff game quarterbacked by Aaron Rodgers. So when you get the benefit of that, and then guys like Alan Lazard or Robert Tonyan, who had a couple of big catches, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, had a big catch or two. You add it all up, and it was just too much. And the fact that the Rams really didn't have Aaron Donald. He only played about 55% of the snaps of this game. Here's Sean McVay afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they do a good job of changing up their tempos, their personnel. You know, we had some different subs going, and, you know, really Aaron is able to sub himself. And so, you know, we'll have to really see. But, you know, he was going to do everything in his power to be out there with his teammates. This guy's the epitome of a warrior. I love him. The plan going in was seeing how he feels. He's kind of always got that, the ability to be able to tell us how he's feeling. And so as far as the exact snap counts, you know, there's a lot of things going on during the course of the game that we have to be in.
But you saw him, Gambo. He was in tears over there on the sideline.
He
knew full well he wasn't going to be able to play as much as he wanted to in that game. And I think that made a big difference in that game.
Well, it did. I mean, the Packers scored on their first five possessions. You know, and against the Rams defense, I mean, that's pretty good. They scored in their first five possessions, and, you know, they were able to move the ball down the field and get those points. And like I said, the Rams were able to find a way, because I think Akers had, you know, I was really impressed with him. That rookie's fantastic. He had a good game. They were able to run the ball a little bit. The Rams were, but I give a lot of credit to this coach with the Packers, LaFleur. I mean, I looked at his numbers. He's 28-7. With two NFC North titles and two trips to the NFC Championship game. That, man, that's really good. Like, for them, look, it was obviously time to move on from McCarthy. They got a new coach in there. Took a little while, you know, for him and Rodgers to click. The same way it does, like, you know, even with Bruce and Carson Palmer, it takes a little bit. But once they got clicking, boy, they're a good football team. They're a sound football team. They got a good defense. They got a great offense. They can run the ball. Adams is a great weapon. Rodgers is playing out of his mind. So I think next week's game against Tampa Bay, you know, Tampa Bay looked good, and we'll talk about Tampa Bay in a little bit. That should be another fantastic game.
So weird to think that this is Aaron Rodgers' fifth appearance in an NFC Championship game. The previous four were all on the road. That as good as he's been, he's never hosted an NFC title game before. And if I apologize if you mentioned that earlier, because I was looking through some sound I was going to play. So if you mentioned that, I apologize. That is where it's so weird to think about everything that he's ever accomplished. This is like a first for him. And they had 8,500 fans in there. He said it felt like there were 50,000 fans in there. You wonder if they're going to let even more in. It could be colder. It could be snow this weekend in Green Bay. I think some of the early forecasts are calling for that, all of which you would think would give Green Bay kind of an advantage over a warm weather team like Tampa Bay coming in there and having to play a team that's going to have a legit home field advantage for that game.
Well, the Packers lost to the Buccaneers 38-10.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, who would they rather play? I think they would have rather played the Saints. They beat the Saints in the regular season. They got smoked by Tampa Bay. And Tom Brady is very accustomed to cold weather from all his time in New England.
That's an excellent point. I don't know if his teammates are, but he is.
No,
absolutely.
But he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I think Tampa's defensive line is better equipped to make Rodgers uncomfortable. I mean, some of those Tampa Bay defensive players, my God, I mean, we'll talk about them later. But, yeah, I think that, you know, they would have preferred New Orleans winning. Again, Brady more accustomed to playing in cold weather than Breeze is. And if you just look at it, I mean, Tampa Bay smoked Green Bay in the regular season. But you get this game at home. You one win, you know, from getting to the Super Bowl. They've got the team that could do it. I do think being at home is going to be. Although, you know, you sent me something. What are the it's 5-5 in the playoffs right now?
Home teams are 5-5.
5-5.
Yep, yep.
So there's really been no home field advantage. But still, because of the weather, if I'm Green Bay, I am playing a team in Tampa outside of Brady, who's got the experience. Those guys play in warm weather.
Yeah.
So that should be an advantage for Green Bay.
Should be. Absolutely should be. Plus, the way Aaron Rodgers is basically playing should be the biggest advantage of all, because he's at the top of his game right now. On the Rams.
Offensive line, too. He's not even getting hit.
Gosh, yeah.
Offensive line was great. They didn't even hit him.
Yeah.
They barely touched him.
They're doing it without their tackle, Bakhtiari. I mean, he's been out for the last couple of weeks, and they're still performing at a very high level. On to the Rams very, very quickly. This is from the NFL Network, Steve Weiss. I'm looking at a story on NFL.com right now. Quote, the people I've spoken to said basically at this moment, the relationship with Jared Goff and Sean McVay, not great. They need marriage counseling is what one person said to me. I think this is something that they're going to be able to work through, but there's got to be some healing and not just with Jared Goff's injured thumb, close quote. Here's Sean McVay. Did Jared Goff impress you, and is he still your quarterback? Listen at the end how he answered this.
I think he did a nice job, Bill. I thought he improved on last week. You know, I think you really saw a guy that stepped in, and he did what he could. I thought he made some plays. Thought he saw the field well, like I was mentioning. But, you know, he did a good job today.
He's your quarter. Is he your quarterback?
Yeah, he's a quarterback, right?
Yeah. Right now.
Yeah, he's the quarterback right now.
Right now, he's the quarterback.
Yeah, he's the quarterback right
now. Tomorrow, who knows? Right now, he's the quarterback.
Right now, I'm thinking pizza for dinner. Ask me a couple hours from now, I might want a burger. But right now, I'm thinking I want a pizza. Yeah.
It's one of the great questions in the offseason. You know, what is the future for Jared Goff? You know, I mean, here's a guy making, what, 30-something million dollars a year?
Yeah.
And you're debating whether, you know, whether he's the guy or not. You just don't know. You know, they've had him long enough. It's not like he's an old player. He was a, you know, number one pick back in, you know, 2016. But now you know, they're just not that sure whether. And the same thing, like Philly with Carson Wentz.
Yep.
Is he the guy or not? The Jets with Sam Darnold. Is he the guy or not? The Rams are not sure what they have in Jared Goff. That's crazy.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, first let me remind you the Waste Management Phoenix Open returns February 1st through the 7th. We are giving you the chance to win the Coors Light Silver Seats to the Open. Text the word CHILL to 620-600 for your chance to win. That's CHILL. It's a 620-620. When we come back here on this Monday edition, did we just get a sign that Larry Fitzgerald is going to retire? And speaking of signs, apparently we have a change to the Phoenix Suns starting lineup. We'll share it with you next on the Burns and Gambo show. Phoenix Suns tweeted it out, and our own Kellen Olsen made mention of it a few moments ago on Twitter, Gambo. There is indeed a change to the starting five for the Phoenix Suns. Cam Johnson is in the starting lineup in the place of Jay Crowder.
Wow. All right. We were curious as to whether they were going to make a change or not.
Yeah, we've been talking about a lineup change. Monty hinted at it. The last time we basically saw the Suns play, which was a week ago today against the Washington Wizards, and after they lost that game, that was when he hinted at some possible lineup changes. And, of course, speculation immediately focused on DeAndre Ayton. Not Ayton, Jay Crowder. And Cam Johnson is going to get the start today for Jay Crowder in a game that starts in about 10 minutes, and we'll keep you completely updated. So I wanted to pass that along to everybody because that is what's going on with the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah. You know, Saric is out, so there was some thought, would you replace Saric with Ayton? But Saric is out. He's not playing in this game. So
I guess that's true, too. Even if you were going to do something with Ayton, you can't now because Saric is out. No. And Jalen Smith is out. I mean, they're down to DeAndre Ayton, and Frank Kaminsky's going to get some minutes today, right? I mean,
not a bad pickup at the end when you get him for cheap and you get him for nothing. They would, you know, they didn't bring him back. They let him go. They didn't pick up his option. Then Sacramento brought him in. They didn't like him, and they let him go. And the Suns are like, all right, we'll take him on a minimum.
Yeah, sure.
For a minimum, we'll
Why
take
not?
Him.
Bring somebody back who's familiar with what you do,
sure.
that you like. I mean,
urgency,
yeah, sure, why not? All right, so back to the Arizona Cardinals. And now keep in mind, this actually happened back in November, but we're hearing about it for the first time now. Larry Fitzgerald, apparently he wins in life, apparently he wins in business, and apparently he wins in real estate, Gambo. A home
Man.
That he bought for $3 million.
How did you do that?
Seriously, in 2015.
How do you do that in 5 years? Go five times the price that you paid for the house.
He bought it for three. He sold it for $18 million. 14,000 square foot home in Paradise Valley that sits on, I think, like 3 acres of land near Camelback Mountain. He bought it for three. He sold it for $18 million. Fitz can't lose. He can't lose.
I know. I saw that. I'm like, okay, well, I got to read that again. That does not seem possible. That he bought a house for $3 million just a short time ago. Now, I could see you bought it for $3 million and you sell it for $3.5, 3.7. I mean, I don't even think, you know, but even if he would have doubled it, I would have been, that's unbelievable. He bought it for three, sold it for six.
Yeah.
But he bought it for three and sold it for 18. Now, what does it mean? I don't get into this whole real estate thing with what does it mean? Who knows? With these guys have so much money, they could buy all these, you know, they could buy all these houses. I don't, whatever. He didn't want to live there anymore. Maybe he bought a different house. Who knows?
Maybe he's downsizing. Maybe he wanted to live in a different part of the valley. Maybe this, maybe that. Does it mean he's retired? I don't know. I know. You still think he's retiring, right?
I think he's retiring.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure, and I'm not really any more sure. Now, I do know this, and I meant to mention this on Friday, and we just got busy with everything else, so I didn't get around to it. But I did see a tweet from, I believe it was Kent Summers, who said that it was this day a year ago. This would have been on Friday. It was this day a year ago that Larry Fitzgerald announced his intention to return for the 2020 season. So this time a year ago.
I'm expecting it this week.
We
this
knew.
Week,
are you expecting it this week?
I'm expecting this. Yeah, because, well, I expect it before the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Now, so sometime this month, I that's what I expect. Now, that's just based on, you know, his track record in doing this. You know, maybe, but if he is going to come back, I would think that it would be more likely that he determines it now. If he's going to retire, you know, and I thought about this the other day too. Is it possible he waits till after the Super Bowl to not, you know, to not distract from the game?
Sure, it's possible.
I was thinking about that. Is it possible that he doesn't tell anybody until after the Super Bowl, so that way it doesn't take away from, you know, from the publicity that those the deserving teams would get from making it to the Super Bowl?
I think that's plus, and I don't know the answer to this, and I'll throw this open to the Burns and Gambo show team here. Have we even heard, is there a radio row this year for the Super Bowl, or has that been kind of stymied because of everything that's going on? I know there's usually a day out of that Super Bowl week where Fitz will make the rounds, right? Like, he'll go around, he'll appear on all the networks, he'll do a bunch of radio shows. Usually he's got this, that, or whatever that he – is it? It's not happening?
No radio row per CBS,
okay.
Which would know.
So I wonder if that's something that sometimes drives his decision-making, Gambo. If there's no radio row, I wonder if that changes things too in terms of his timeline. I don't know.
Could, but he usually goes there. He usually does that stuff with Jim Gray, right?
Yeah.
You know, works, does some stuff with Jim Gray. So, you know, it could. I do think that. I don't think he's going to drag this out forever. I don't expect that he's going to drag it out forever. But I would say if it goes longer than the Super Bowl, I would think that means more likely that he's not coming back.
Sarah, did you have something else to add?
Oh, just no radio row also means no Super Bowl media day, which means we're going to miss out on all of the asinine questions that are asked
on
Super Bowl media day.
Super Bowl media day,
I mean,
too?
How could they possibly allow all those people?
You're absolutely right. I don't know how they possibly could, but that is a staple.
How many people can fit in a Zoom meeting?
Can you propose to a player over Zoom, which is what usually happens at a Super Bowl media day?
Man, that's going to take all of the fun away from the Super Bowl. What will we do without Super Bowl media day? NFC West, boy, it was a busy weekend in the NFC West in terms of the coaching stuff. We saw last week where Robert Saleh, the Niners defensive coordinator, he left the 49ers to go be the Jets head coach. Now you've got the Rams. They just lost their defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley. He took the Chargers job today.
Good.
It's been an offseason, a little bit of a shakeup for the NFC West, not with the coaches, but with the assistant coaches. There's been a lot of movement on that front, Gambo.
Yeah, listen, I'm all for it because, you know, you cause some coaching issues. Now they got to go rehire somebody else, and players have to learn maybe a different system, or maybe you're just not as good. You know, these guys got head coaching jobs. So, you know, Saleh being gone, I think, helps. Staley being gone, I think that helps because these teams now they have to rebound. They got to hire a new first-time defensive coordinator come in, and, you know, they had some guys that they really liked. So, I think it's a positive. I don't think it's a negative. If I look at it from a Cardinals perspective, the more coaches that leave these teams because the teams are having success, the harder it is to replace those guys.
Yeah, and not only is it just the coordinators who are leaving, but like, say, for example, Brandon Staley, the DC of the Rams, reportedly he might be taking Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell with him.
Take him with, yep.
Yep, Robert Saleh becoming the head coach of the Jets. He's taking Mike LaFleur with him. In fact, the 49ers today already announced who their new offensive coordinator was going to be. Then, of course, there's Seattle with Brian Schottenheimer, the fired offensive coordinator there. Pete Carroll looking for somebody who wants to run the ball more, and Russell Wilson has already come out on record saying, I think I should have a say in who the offensive coordinator is, at least be a part of the conversation because I'm going to be working with this person so very closely. So, yeah, it's the NFC West is in a little bit of flux. And then, of course, with the Cardinals, not a ton of changes, but Tom Clements retired as the quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator. I know you reported last week you weren't expecting the Cards to go out and get a quote-unquote offensive coordinator, but that they might look from within to maybe boost up Sean Coogler's kind of role within the offense in terms of the say that he would have and the suggestion power that he would have in the room, possibly.
Yeah, I think that maybe you go to Coogler. He's got a lot of experience. He's had a lot of success. He's been under a lot of good head coaches. And, you know, maybe you give him a louder voice in what's going on. But do I expect them to go hire somebody? No, I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, Cliff's going to be the play caller, and, you know, he's going to run the offense. But you could, you know, bring somebody in to be, you know, more of a voice, to have, you know, more of a say in what's going on. And you might be able to do that from within. Again, with all these coaching vacancies and, you know, coaches now being hired and, you know, coaches being fired, it's just more likely that you'll promote from within right now. And the reason why is because if you're a coordinator and you have a chance to go on to one of these new jobs, you're going to take that over the Cardinals for the simple fact that that job's going to be more stable. You're going to have a few years, three, four maybe, but at least three to kind of get things going, you would assume. If you come to the Cardinals and in 1 year it doesn't work out and they make massive changes, then you're out on the street after 1 year.
Yeah.
So your security is better off with one of the seven openings that's being filled than it is to come here with the Cardinals. Make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. When we come back, we'll go into the 3 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show. We'll turn our attention to Tom Brady and the Bucks. Brady in yet another conference championship game, this time in the NFC. Was this the last we've seen of Drew Brees in an NFL uniform? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.